Get your Bibles back out and turn back to our scripture reading this morning. It's Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Look forward to the opportunity to speak to you this morning. As all the men I trust say and truly feel, if we say anything that's amiss, that you'll point those things out to us. We want to be right by God's word, not giving our own opinions on these things. Luke 13 and verse 23. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? When's the last time that you've been to a funeral and the men who were speaking there were talking about how the deceased was not going to go to heaven? Have you ever been to a funeral where those men talking there about the deceased was not going to go to heaven? They always talk about how they're going to go to heaven, don't they? And yet we know from the Word of God that can't be so. Because few are going to be saved. And that's what we'll look at this morning. Again, few will be saved. Many think that most will be saved, don't they? Or to put it another way, that most people are going to go to heaven. Most people think this way. It's a comforting thought. Yet Jesus taught that few will be saved. Again, from our scripture reading. Begin at verse 23. One said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll begin at verse 13, Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We do well to remember it was only 8 souls that were saved during the flood. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 7. Begin at verse 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. And so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth, and only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed in the earth 150 days. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Again, think of all the people who were alive during that time. Some say millions, and only 8 were survived. Let's also remember that only 3 souls escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Turn back over to Genesis chapter 19. Again, we're contrasting few versus many. Genesis 19. And so you have these two big, large cities with lots of people in them. 19, begin at verse 24. The Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. And so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. So total destruction. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst to overthrow, when he had overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were there with him. And so he had the three there. Let's also remember that only two men out of 603,550, only two over the age of 20, were permitted to enter into the land of Canaan. Let's turn over to Numbers. Chapter 14 of Numbers. Chapter 14, begin at verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, who shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in.'" Turn over to Numbers chapter 1. So we have these two out of all these people we're going to get to enter. Chapter 1 and verse 45. Talking about this group of people. "So all who were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses, from 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war in Israel, all who were numbered were 603,550, and two get to go." So we see it's not an uncommon thing that it's not the many, but it's the few. Sadly, there are a few, again, who will find the way that leads to life. And what is the way that leads to life? We're going to talk about that. Again, we find that Jesus taught certain things. And he taught that Jesus is the only way. So let's eliminate some groups. Many think that all religious people will be saved. No matter what you believe or who you believe in, all religious people will be saved. As some put it, it really doesn't matter what you believe. And yet Jesus taught no one's going to come to the Father except through him. John chapter 14. We'll read verse 6. Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's a pretty blunt statement. No one is going to come through except for him. We also do well to remember the example of Cornelius. Cornelius was a religious person, but he still needed salvation. Turn over to Acts with me. Next few parts, we're going to see a few examples of religious people, devout people. Acts chapter 10, again, verse 1. Just listen how this man is described. "There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And so he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do.'" Turn over to chapter 11 and verse 14. Let's back up to verse 13. "And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.'" So he had to hear some stuff. There was some stuff he had to do. He obviously was not saved. He was religious. But he had to hear words, further words, of how to be saved or what to do. We also have the example of many religious people who needed salvation as well. There were some devout Jews on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. They're all gathered here in Jerusalem. They are devout, and yet they are missing something. Acts 2, begin at verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Turn over to verse 36. Peter talks to them for a while, preaches to them about Jesus. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So again, they were devout, but they lacked something. There's a devout Ethiopian who was returning from worship. Acts chapter 8, turn to me, with me there. We'll begin at verse 27. Acts 8, 27. And so he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Drop down to verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your hearts, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So he had something he had to do that he lacked. There's the example of Lydia. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. We'll begin at verse 13. Let's see how she's described. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. And now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things that were spoken by Paul. So again, she had some stuff she had to heed to hear. And there's also the example of Saul, or Paul before he became Paul. Turn on to Acts chapter 26. Paul describes how at one time he thought he was doing the Lord's will. 26 and verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, we know Paul had to make some changes in his life. Again, being religious is not enough, as we see from these examples. One cannot truly be a Christian who believes that salvation is to be found outside of Christ, has to be found inside of Christ. But again, take note, Jesus also taught some more things about salvation. For those who do obey, many think that all who believe in Jesus will be saved. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. Many believe this, that we're all saved by faith only. No need for obedience. Obedience is a foreign word to some. And yet Jesus warned of those who believed in him and still they were lost. Matthew chapter 7. Again, here's a group of people who believe in Jesus, faith only, and yet lost. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We've cast out demons in your name, and we've done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is Jesus speaking. We see in this example that they did what? They believed Jesus to be Lord, didn't they? They called him Lord. They also spent their lives in service to the Lord as they saw need. But again, they hadn't done the will of the Father. They'd obeyed their own will, even though they thought that it was doing service to the Lord. We also do well to remember that Jesus is the author of salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews chapter 5. And basically what this means is that Jesus makes the rules, we don't. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of our of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Again, those who do his will, not just the believers, but those who have action, those who do. But Jesus is the author. He's the one who makes the rules. We don't. The end of those who do not obey his gospel, those who may just believe that they don't obey. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. And who else? Those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Not all believers will be saved, as we've noted. Turn over to James chapter 2. We see an example here of the demons who believe. James 2 and verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. The demons are not going to be saved, but yet they believe. Let's look at an example of some humans, though. Turn over to John chapter 12. Begin at verse 42. John 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many did what? Many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What do you think their fate's going to be? In conclusion, believing that many, if not all, will be saved, it's a very comforting doctrine, isn't it? When you go to a funeral, that's what you want to hear. A few praised as it's a view that's praised as tolerant, it's praised as a loving thing, but is it truth? But if one really desires to follow Jesus, we must abide in his teaching. Turn back over to John chapter 8. Again, we're not just believing his teaching, we're actually abiding and doing his will. John 8, begin at verse 30. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we know from reading today that few will be saved, not many. We know that Jesus is the only way. And we know that salvation is for those who not only believe, but also do his Father's will. We also know that God wants all men to be saved. Turn back over to 1 Timothy. All these laws and things are made for our benefit. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's provided his Son as the perfect sacrifice for us and the perfect mediator for us. But again, will we believe in his Son and obey his Son? That's our lesson for this morning. If there's anyone here who needs to obey the gospel, if you're hearing it and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing him as the Christ, the Son of God, and being baptized for remission of your sins, you can do that now. If you've done that in the past and gone back in the world, you make some changes, you have opportunity now as we stand and sing the song.